Today, I'm back in my own nearest city, Granada, to meet another guest who has made her home here and forged a career based on the growing demand for specialist experience tourism. Gail Mackey, founder of Granada Tapas Tours, is sharing her life story. Hello, Gail, and thank you so much for being my guest today.
Hello, good morning.
Granada Tapas Tours, as a business title, is almost self-explanatory. But yes. Perhaps you can just tell us a little bit more about what you do here in Granada.
Okay, well, basically, I like to invite visiting international people to come out on a tapa tour with myself or the team. And what we're trying to do is make sure that the visitor has the best experience, the most local, authentic experience, and to really tell them everything there is to know, if possible, about Granada in a short space of time.
What's unique about Granada Tapas Tours? Because there are a number, this is across Andalusia, there are a number of experienced companies that are catering for that the independent traveller, and there's obviously a growing number of independent travellers who want to experience the real Spain. What's unique about Granada Tapas Tours?
Well, I like to think it's been here, I've been here for a long time. I myself have been here for 22 years, and the before experiences became trendy, I was offering this well, at least 10 years ago. And I feel it's one of the original sort of food experiences in Granada. Because it's not really an experience and a tour, it's you're having a night out. You're visiting an old friend, someone you know, you've come to Granada and you bump into whoever, and they're taking you out and you're just chatting. It's very relaxed. That's what I think makes it different. It's the original experience.
And you're not a tour company as such, so people don't book a holiday.
No, not at all.
So they are people that basically come to Granada to visit and then want something value added.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone has to eat, so I've clicked on that. That's right. Everyone needs to eat. You need to get fed when you're on your holiday. I'm very much aware now there's the word hangry, but before that was kind of, you know, coined. I realise I get hangry. And so basically I think, well, if you're not well fed while you're on holiday, you can be a little bit grumpy and not have the best of experiences. And so it serves a purpose. I feel that the tapa tour experience kills two birds with one stone. You're finding out about Granada, you're finding out about Spain, about tapas, but you're also getting fed, which isn't
necessary. That's always a good thing.
Yes.
Granada food. Tell me about it. I mean, tell me about the sort of specialities here and what is so great about the Granada food.
What I like about it is that you never really know. I didn't realise that there are sort of tapa classics until after having lived here for about 10 years or so. Because every time you go into a tapas bar in Granada, the choice is different. There are bars where you go and have your first round and you'll always get the meatballs, the albóndigas. Other bars will always serve you bocarones, etc., etc. And the second tapa will be the same, sort of regularly. But there are other places which drive me crazy, but I love them. You go in and on a Monday it'll be different from the Tuesday to the Wednesday to the Thursday, and it'll be different at night time as well, so you never really know. I think that's part of the experience too. I do now know my bars, I know where I'm going, I do know probably what to expect. And regarding Granada food, I've probably tried everything under the sun, really. The classics, one thing that they don't serve as much anymore as a tapa, you have to ask for it, is the tortilla de Sacromonte, which I'm sure you'll have heard of, perhaps. It's more for an acquired taste. It's the brain omelette. Many, many years ago, there was a brain bar, only served brains, and I was dragged, or I thought I was going to be dragged. It was a Wednesday, I remember very clearly. And as I was walking towards the bar, and my girlfriends and male friends were chatting away, and I said, "Oh, wait, excuse me a second. Is it the blue bar with the awning that's shut today?" And they went, "Oh, no." And I went, "Yes, hallelujah. It's a sign. And I didn't have to go to the brain bar, because I literally thought, the brains are going in and they're coming out again. There is no way I can eat brains off a spoon. in a kind of gloopy sort of in a gloopy kind of fashion on these very fancy sitting up white ceramic spoons, the deep spoons.
So yes,
plenty of it is going to be.
Mouthful.
Yes, really good mouthful. So no, I was quite delighted. But the tortilla de Sacromonte, the omelette, is very doable. When I have some brave visitors, all my clients are visitors. No one's a tourist. That's extremely important. The word tourist is banned when you're on an experience. There's no talking about the T word. And so my visitors, the brave ones, off we go, or I can tell them where to go, and they can go and have a little experience themselves. Sometimes they send me photos. Look, we're doing it. Snap, snap, and I get a shot a couple of days later of them sampling that. But yes, it's only for the brave.
Are you a cook?
Do like to cook. Yes, I used to cook a lot when I was younger. I lived in many student flats, so there would be five of us, and Monday would be Maria, Tuesday would be Laura, Wednesday would be me, and we'd cook as a group, and then you all ate whoever made the food. I've been told that my paella is pretty darn good, and they don't add in for the foreigner bit at the end, which is lovely. Tortilla de patatas, that's all right as well. My downfall are my desserts. I'm not a dessert person, and I don't manage to get the desserts to kind of come out right. But yes, I do like to cook. I do have a cooking experience that happens. Small numbers of visitors can come to my house, and I will cook for them. But that has to be the sort of style of visitor who knows what they're getting themselves into. Sort of thing. It's not a cooking class. It's a cooking experience. I will cook and entertain you.
Do they share in the cooking experience, or do they just sit and watch?
Well, my kitchen's not big, so we can all squeeze in there and be very cosy. Sometimes if a couple come with kids, then I do make it more kid friendly, and I'll have them chopping the tomatoes, or carefully, of course, with parental supervision. But no, it's usually a chatting and watching experience. But basically, because of the size of my kitchen, I'm in charge, and they're observing.
Gail, yes. You know the format. I ask all my guests to choose six pieces of music that sort of represent periods in their life or highlights within their life. What would be your first piece of music and why?
Well, probably Living La Vida Loca by Ricky Martin. The first singer I remember when I came to Spain. It's very important in Spain to have the Christmas, it's very important in Spain to have the summer number one, sort of a bit like the UK Christmas number one. So Ricky Martin had a song called 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, Maria, which was the year before I arrived, and I thought, oh, this is quite a groovy, funky song, and I was on the dance floor giving it everything. And then this was a couple of years later, this was his sort of next big hit, and I love it. I know all the words. I won't be singing.
Gail Mackie is my guest on Life Stories this week, and as one would expect, we are having a chat in one of the many cafes and bars to be found in Granada, although it may be a little bit too early for tapas, more of a desayuno. Mm-hmm. Gail is the founder of Granada Tapas Tours, a specialist experience tour company who aims to give clients a taste of the true Granada. Before Ricky Martin, and I know you're a great dancer, we were talking about the style of food in Granada. Do you think Granada is in the shadow of other cities in Spain when it comes to culinary choice? When you look at the emergence of places like San Sebastian or even Malaga and Seville, is Granada lagging behind, or is it just because it's not really been promoted enough, the food here?
I feel it's not been promoted enough, and that's another one of the reasons that I like doing what I do. Granada's not a big city, it's not a Seville, it's not a Madrid, it's not a Barcelona. I also explain perhaps to visitors who come, in my opinion, and this is purely my opinion, the north has a style of food, a culinary style, shall we say, and the south has a different style. Andalusia, on the whole, is maybe, up until very recently, more simple tasting food. Your whole Michelin star, fancy restaurants, chef kind of phenomenon that's appeared is maybe more common in Madrid and above, sort of idea. I don't think it's lagging behind, but obviously it's it is a big question about how popular Granada has become. I would say in the last 8 years, I've noticed a huge difference in the amount of visitors. The fact that we have now the tourist train, we have about four or five Segway companies. Granada is now on the map. Maybe to explain to you, when I first came in here, my mother would write me letters, you know, snail mail letters, and she'd write Granada, beautifully written, small handwriting, lovely, and my letter would go to Grenada in the Caribbean and come all the way back round into Europe and back down to Spain, because the postal system had no idea where Granada, España, but where's that, you know, sort of thing. So I don't think it's lagging behind, and it is catching up very quickly. But also there's a tradition of keeping things the way they are. The bar we're sitting in just now has had a massive refurbishment and has changed and done really well for itself. The owner now has three restaurants, but this was your typical sort of small old gentleman's bar, decorated with the pretty Andalusian tiles and with the silver worktop, silver bar top. This was a traditional style bar, and there's nothing wrong with that, I think.
But is it a shame that traditional style is being, for want of a better word, whitewashed to become more commercial?
Yes, I think it is a shame.
I mean, there are some beautiful bars in Granada, and there's one I can never remember the name of it, where they serve the wine in pig's heads, pottery pig's heads. Do you know the bar?
I think is that not La Bodega de Antonio?
Yes, it is.
Yes. But apart from the pig head glasses or cups, have you noticed the hanging dried pig's heads that hang off the bar? Actual pigskin faces.
I'm not sure. Maybe. My daughter's a vegetarian, so
you wouldn't get it in there. But you know that La Bodega de Antonio's bar, basically, I used to go there a lot and sort of shock the folks as they're standing having their drink and their tapa to turn round, and literally right behind them, there is a hanging, sculpted sort of pig face, dried and stretched out.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't it lovely?
It's really lovely. But those ooze character.
Yes.
And is there a danger as restaurants feel they want to sort of attract in more of the tourist market, they move slightly away from that very Spanish feel, because that can be intimidating for the first time visitor?
But that's why they need to come on a Granada tapas tour, she says. Yes, it is, and I suppose a bar has the choice to move into the modern field, or they can perhaps, in my opinion, just get some good marketing done for them and home in on what they have. The fact that they are a traditional bar and staying traditional and keeping it that style. Another particular bar owner I know in Granada has a very popular central restaurant. He's then opened a fish restaurant, and on purpose he's taken over a building that's been a restaurant since about the 1950s, and he's called it Granma's Kitchen. So he's got his three styles of restaurants: modern, fish, and Granma's cooking. So he's done it that way, which I think is very clever. He's a smart gent.
Now, one of the things we've not touched on, which we ought to, in Granada,
yes,
is that Granada is still one of the few provinces in Spain where you get free tapas.
You do indeed. The free lunch exists in Granada.
But that seems to be still a bit of a secret. When you mention this to people outside the knowing circle, it's still something that people really don't know about, as well as you're saying that Granada is still a bit of a secret to a lot of people.
I think it's maybe, as opposed to people don't know about it, they just don't believe it. They just don't think it's possible. I had Scottish friends many, many years ago come to visit, and she was my friend more so, and she brought her husband. How does this work? Would this work in Scotland? I don't think so. He says, I don't think so. He was a very canny Glaswegian gentleman, and he couldn't believe that the food is included in the price of the drink. Okay, yes, I understand if you go to Seville, you can have a glass of wine for maybe 180, 2 euros. Here, your nice glass of wine will cost you around about 3 or 3.50, I feel. But the food then is incorporated into that. In Seville, you have to pay then 2.50, 3.50, 4.50 for the tapa. So you add it all together, and you're paying probably 5 a head for a glass of wine and a tapa. In Granada, you're paying 3.50 for a nice glass of wine. You might go somewhere and it's still only about 2.50. it's a fantastic concept, and we cannot lose it. Granada, this is what makes Granada, well, one of the many reasons it makes Granada special.
But is it something that we could lose? I mean, how do they make money?
I know, it is a question. It's a question that a lot of the gentlemen on my tours will ask, the economists, the brain starts sort of trying to work it out. I find a lot of the bars are family run. Or a lot of the bars I go to and take visitors to. So there's an element of it's what we've always done, and Paco will be doing it, and son Paco will be doing it, and grandson Paco will be doing it. But the bars then also make their money on people who stay for a dinner, or who buy a ración, and who want to add, who then come for a special occasion dinner and bring the entire family, which is maybe 27 members, you know. So... the bars make money, or the restaurants make money that way. A lot of the bars as well open now and have clicked, which is excellent, but kind of takes away the concept of what tapa time is all about. But the sensible bar owners will open early to get the early lunchtime visitors, who are generally international. So if your international tummy needs to have lunch at 12 noon, then it can. And then they'll have like a second round of lunchtime guests, or they'll be the 2 o'clock onwards Spanish visitors, or Spanish locals. The same for the evening. So 6 p.m. you can find places still open with dinner options, and then the second round of dinner guests will come in, and they'll be the Spanish. So, you know, the clever bar owners are opening at 12 noon and closing at midnight. It's a long day, different shifts obviously, but that works as well.
Gail, your yes. Second piece of music, and what would it be this time, and why?
Well, I have always loved dancing, and I was explaining that, you know, to me music is very much about movement, it's very much about what you can dance to. So I have chosen the Buena Vista Social Club. They are a Cuban band of senior gentlemen, and I remember listening to this way back, thinking, oh, beautiful piece of music. I loved salsa. When I came to Granada, I began seriously dancing salsa. So this is the piece of music that I've chosen.
You're listening to Life Stories, and my guest this week is Gail Mackey, founder of the tour experience company Granada Tapas Tours, the first of such organisations to provide travellers with an insider's insight into tapas in this beautiful and historic city. I'm going to move away from tapas just a little bit and talk about dance. You had two dance tracks as your music choices, Gail, so dance is obviously quite important to you.
Yes, I've always liked dancing, and when I had lived here for about 8 years, I was looking to do something different, and I noticed that there was a company in Granada, based in London, but had an office here in Granada, called Club Dance Holidays. And I approached them, and I thought my intention, this is as I was beginning to set up the business idea, it was still a hobby, it still is a hobby, but anyway, it was still a hobby at that time, and I thought, right, these people are coming to Granada, I realised experience holidays, so they are coming to learn an activity, in this case dance, so salsa, flamenco, tango, rock and roll. And I went to see them and said, can I feed your guests? So when they have finished doing their dance classes in the morning, can I take them out and then give them back to you, so to speak? And the company said no. But it was very much like that war poster, we need you, the country needs you, with the gentleman pointing his finger. And the managing director came out to the office and he said, who are you? I explained who I was, and he just pointed right at me and said, we need you on our team. And I thought, golly. So I walked in there offering my services as a sort of as a food expert, and I came out with a job. So very unexpected. And what the company does, and I still have dealings with them, I have a tango group coming in October this year. So I've been working with them since about 2007. And their concept is that you go on holiday to do something. You don't lie on the beach. You're having an activities holiday. This whole thing, I think, has also boomed. You can go and do fitness holidays. You can do painting holidays, walking holidays, cycling holidays nowadays. But this gent, the owner, he's been doing this in London for about 25 years. And I'm very proud to sort of have been involved in it, and I think it's a great concept. So yes, I help with the classes in the morning, with the dance classes. I'm often the partner of the poor soul who's come on his own, and then I'll feed them at lunchtime, and then in the evenings they go out and dance, and I'm usually involved in dinners as well with them to sort of guide them through their week, hopefully enhancing their experience in Granada.
Now, all your experience, your tour experiences, what are the reasons behind them? Why did you feel there was a gap in the market? Why did you feel the need to work in this direction?
Because a long time ago I read an article actually in the newspaper that said Granada was missing out on people staying the night or spending 2 or 3 days in Granada. The Alhambra is the city's major attraction, the beating heart of Granada, and people were coming on big coach tours, parties, rushing into the Granada, into the Alhambra, round it, back on the bus, and gone.
And probably not even seeing Granada because they get dropped off in the car park at the
top. Exactly. Many people who come to the city don't realise that the Alhambra is within the city limits. They often feel or think it's some sort of fortress, palace, city on the outskirts of town. They don't realise that you look up and pretty much from many, many angles you can see a little section of the castle, of the Alhambra. So this was very disappointing. The hotels were missing out, the restaurants were missing out, Granada was not on the tourist map. And I thought, right, what can we do about this? And I also realised that there weren't many activities in English. That has changed, definitely has changed, as I say, over the last 8 years. But there were very few activities to do in English, like a guide person, a helping hand. In the bars as well, you may well have noticed, you've been here a shorter period of time, but there isn't a lot of English spoken. Even now, depending on where you go, which side street you go down, English is not as common perhaps as it should be, because Granada's now more on the map, but back in the day that was a real issue. So people would walk in, get their beer, the cerveza, you know, sort of thing, dos cervezas, and they'd manage to get that, and then have some food kind of shoved in front of them, perhaps not the best, and they don't know how to ask, what is this, what have we ordered, we haven't ordered, panic, and so they're sort of, they'll pay and rush out to the bar as quickly as possible, perhaps feeling that they've been cheated. When it's not that system at all. And also I think when you just speak a little bit of the language, you get such a different experience. I think it's important to promote Granada in this sense.
Time for your third piece of music, Gail. And what did you choose this time?
Okay, another sort of dance track. Okay. This is Mambo Number 5. And by a gentleman called Lou Bega, and this just reminds me of a fabulous holiday I actually had here in Spain with international friends. I used to live in the States, and so we decided, the group of girls that met across there, sort of 5-6 years later, we went to everybody's country. So the Dutch girl, the Belgian girl, the German girl, and then it was my turn. I had Scotland to offer them, but also Spain. So we all met up here in Spain. They came to Granada. We went down to the coastal areas as well. So we had a little bit of beach, of a beach holiday, and we also had the city break, the culture. And Lou Bega, this Mambo Number 5, was on the radio, and we loved it.